The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Families that go here, grow here.
Not even half nine yet, and already we are ready to go with our guests this morning. Please welcome Celine Byrne and Claudia Boyle to the studio. Nice to meet you
both.
Good morning.
Oh, mother of God.
Oh, chicken. Who do you think you are?
Oh, don't.
We were singing
Spice
the Spice Girls in opera voices outside.
Can you operify the Spice Girls?
Is we actually were out there going, that's what people around us hate or think that we do. They think we sing everything in an opera voice. So
I do to annoy my husband. It's one of his pet hates.
Me
singing pop songs and rock songs in an opera voice. But no, I really ham it up.
We were making fun of people who sing like Christmas song opera singers. We shouldn't be doing that, but we were making fun of opera singers who at Christmas time had sung normal songs in an opera voice.
And it was real just, opera voice. You know, kind of don't adapt to the style that you're singing.
And it was like,
You're not buying it.
Just leave it alone.
Are you saying like just stay in your lane?
Kind of like.
But you don't have to do a big opera voice if a song isn't an operatic song. You know what I mean? So it's kind of making fun of that, some, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when they come to the opera
adapt,
when they come to the opera that we're doing in March, Rose and Cavalier, that obviously that
we
is opera. So you
will
hear
it
our opera
in opera voices.
Oh, here, listen, we're going to get there in a minute. But to hold your horses, everybody, we just need to get to know each other here and introduce you to our friends at home driving along and doing whatever they're doing today. Because, Claudia, I think this is our first encounter.
This
so
is my
really
first time
nice
here.
To see
so
you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's what you call it.
A close encounter, yes.
Well, not necessarily. There's a few meters.
Well, there is a meter, is there, RT?
Can you explain or describe your water beaker, whatever, flask to everyone? Because I've never seen anything quite like it.
This is a kind of Swarovski water bottle. And not every soprano, but every woman should have one, I have to say.
For
if
all
something
those at
glitters.
Home, I'm drinking out of a Ballygown paper cup, and Claudia Boyle is beside me with a bling bling Swarovski crystal encrusted water bottle.
A tale of two divas.
But I'm like a magpie. If I see something glittery, I have to have it. So, yeah, this was a. It actually would have been wrong not to buy it.
You said Swarovski.
Swarovski.
Sorry. Obviously, I don't mix in your circles. But is that actually 5 euro pennies, or is that the real thing?
No. This is like
it's Swarovski.
Is it proper?
Yeah, it's
Swarovski.
Well,
I tell you,
Swarovski.
My water and
my
paper cups taste the same. It's
well,
all
there
good.
Go. There you go.
But it looks
keeping
so
a country.
Pretty. It looks so pretty. It looks so pretty. I love it.
Tell us a bit about yourselves. Claudia, let's start with you for starters in terms of where you're from and the drift into the opera world.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm from Dublin and I suppose I always did, acting and music. Music was really big in our house. And actually one of the things I used to do was make fun of opera singers as a child. So it's kind of ironic that I am one.
In what
now.
Way?
Just I always used to kind of grab a hairbrush and put on an opera voice. It was kind of, I was pretending to be an opera singer.
You were mocking.
Yeah, absolutely. Mocking opera singers, and my family used to laugh. I used to get up at dinner time and kind of do a little show and that kind of thing.
Very good.
So then I just kind of fell into it. Like I studied cello. I did cello in college, and then it was halfway through college I said, I was sitting in the pit actually, because we, would have accompanied opera singers on stage, and I was kind of looking up at the stage saying, no, I want to be up there. I don't want to be down here.
You don't want to be in the pit. You want to be front of stage.
Really. Like, I just have to be honest. That's how I felt. And and then I just said it to my singing teacher at the time, because I was singing part-time. And I said, I've got to really, it's just, the cello was wonderful and it's an amazing instrument, but it just wasn't enough for me.
Yeah.
Then she said, okay, let's do this. And I finished the degree, and then I did a master's in voice. And then I was fortunate enough to go over to Salzburg, which is a huge opera festival, one of the biggest in the world, actually. And there I kind of learnt my trade. I did a young artist course there. And I just got to meet loads of people. I got to sing for loads of conductors. And then I got my first job in Rome Opera, and then I just kind of was thrown into it.
Let
me
just say, I think the cello is my favourite instrument of all.
It is,
I think it's the
beautiful
most beautiful
instrument,
meaningful sound.
Oh,
it just gets me, right?
It
every
does
time.
Get you. Like,
do you know,
you hear the Swan by Saint-Saëns, like it's just the most beautiful sounding instrument, and it's got such dark tones, but then when it goes high, it's so
beautiful. Do you have a cello playlist on your Spotify account or anything like that? No.
But yeah, I would do. I mean, I we listen to like Lyric FM and Classic FM a lot. So, you know, when cello pieces come on that I've played a chorus, I'll sit and listen.
Sonata number one.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's really haunting. It's so
I need some suggestions. Guide me.
Beautiful repertoire. Well, I mean, the go-to that really just gets me every time, and it's probably an obvious one, is The Swan, Camille Saint-Saëns. And it's just one of those pieces that just stops you. Yeah, it just stops you in your tracks. It just stops you.
I'll just do the background music. Yeah, I'll just chat.
You sing it and she'll explain it. Okay, so Celine, you keep going about
it. So Saint-Saëns, it's basically, he's depicting just a beautiful swan, and obviously the gorgeous neck just floating seamlessly along a lake, and really, and then he on the piano, he has this kind of rippling piano parts, and that's kind of the water beneath, and then just the serenity of a swan and how graceful its neck is, and it's so beautiful.
I'm all in.
There you go. Have I sold it?
It? sold to the weirdo in the corner of the studio. Celine, your road to opera is it always amuses me in some ways, because what was it? You were 30, were you, when it really all kicked off?
Yeah, it was. Well, like, yeah. So I went as an au pair when I was 18 to Milan. I saw an opera for the first time. And for me, it was something that was highfalutin, kind of something that I wasn't interested in. But I said, sure, while I'm in Milan, I might as well go. And I got 3 tickets and I thought, sure, that'll be grand. And then I was like, Jesus, I love this.
Yeah.
And then I was studying music, philosophy and theology. And then I went on to study music performance. Then I did my degree. Then I did my master's. I think I was studying for years and years and years, because I was afraid to get out into the real world and get a real job and raising my kids at the same time. And then, when I was 30, I finished my degree and I went out and I went into the competition circuit, and I won a prize in Stogenbosch. And then the second competition I won was Maria Callas won in Athens. And that's what started it all. And yeah, it was a hobby that developed into a career. I love it. I just love being on stage. I love singing opera. I think it's amazing. I love just moving away from my country turf into the shed girl, into being a diva on stage and dressing up and getting into a character. I just love it.
What a contrast.
I love acting, I love singing, I love the stage, I love interacting with an audience when I'm doing a concert. Obviously the interaction's different when you're doing an opera, because you're playing a role and you're bringing the audience in a different way, because they are drawn in by the story that's been told on stage through song, basically.
You're both show women, and I'm a show man. We're show people. We do like, I know for a fact, I love
entertainers.
I like the thrust of it. I love live TV.
Oh, there's nothing like
nothing
live performances.
Beats it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like that when you have the TV audience on a Friday night, and you know that there's a few people at home as well. That adrenaline is...
Oh, it's huge. And that's what we kind of missed the last few years with the pandemic. Like, I really missed not having an audience to feed off. You know, like, there were so many occasions, especially we were down in the Wexford Festival and they went, you know, digital and online for the pandemic. And, you know, one of the weirdest kind of feelings was me performing at the gala at the end of the festival, just to an empty auditorium, and just with cameras. But I was performing to an empty auditorium.
Totally
so it was
world.
Bizarre.
Yeah,
it was
totally
bizarre. And yeah, I just really missed that energy that you get off
but
an audience.
But it's funny because operas, you said a minute ago, Celine, used that lovely expression, highfalutin.
Highfalutin.
Oh, no, but it is. That's the real Irish. Put down, masquerading as a compliment, you know. So I don't get into all that highfalutin stuff.
It's the fear of the unknown.
It is the fear of the unknown.
That's not what it is, because it's not accessible, or they think it's not accessible.
Well,
because
that's the thing,
we are a land of saints and scholars, and we have like 3 Nobel Prize winners for literature, and we're very much into the traditions of trying to hold on to our Gaelic tradition of Shannos and passing down music and harp melodies and song and sing songs and everything.
And then you guys come
on. So the idea of opera, which is a foreign kind of art form, and ballet, it's something new, but I definitely think it's something that's coming to the fore into the Irish culture. A lot of people are going to operas now,
so
and to ballet and theatre. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But look at you being in Milan and just going to an opera. I mean, that's my experience with people. And I had so many people coming. I did Traviata just there in the Bord Gáis, but so many people came up to me afterwards and said, this was our first time. We loved
it.
Yeah, and that was like that was lovely.
It's an experience. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's an experience.
Yeah. Give it a chance. It's not really
a thing. The Rose and Cavalier is beautiful. The music, Strauss, oh my God, it's beautiful music.
Yeah, it's so heightened. It's so romantic. It's luscious.
It's a longish opera, but it's really worth it. It's so beautiful.
Romantic, you say?
Oh yeah, it's just highly romantic. And the storyline is fantastic.
It's romantic
as well.
Style. That's the style in which it's written. That's where Strauss is in the romantic era. No, it's the romantic era, but it's also the fact that it is an actual... It's a love story. It's a love triangle.
It is a love triangle.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And look, it's you're in there between March 5th and 11th, so you're just the right side of Valentine's. If people,
well, it's a month of love,
Paula Murray.
2 months of love.
By the way, we're missing somebody here. We're missing Paula Murray today, who's playing Octavian, who is actually the Rose and Cavalier, who is the rose bearer, who kind of breaks it off. I break it off with her, and then she then goes off to Sophie, and then they start their love affair. And so it's kind of like that love triangle. And she's not here today, but she's brilliant, and she is the anchor of the opera, and she's just an amazing singer. We're so blessed, Ryan, in this country. We have so many brilliant singers. Like, do you know what I mean?
Claudia
is absolutely amazing. The acrobatics that she does with her voice,
she's
amazing. Paula, beautiful singer, amazing. Jesus.
And you're good.
We're very, very lucky. Excuse me for saying Jesus. God bless me. Sorry.
You're literally blessing yourself.
But no, it is a fantastic opera, and you know, it's a farce basically, and it has all the elements of a farce. Mm. You know, people dressing up as other people, trying to catch people out. My character has to marry this older man. She doesn't want to, and she finds a way to kind of get out of it. So there's so
and
much
subtitles. So the people it's in German.
You can read it,
it's surtitles.
In English.
Yes.
Above surtitles.
Yeah,
here.
The subtitles are below, and the surtitles are above.
Surs and subs.
Do you know what, Ryan?
Opera 101.
When I remember going to an opera once, somebody said there's surtitles, and I was like, what are they?
Yeah.
Like,
does somebody,
oh my God.
Does somebody give them a knighthood? I don't understand.
I have to try and pretend that, like, you know, I know what I'm doing sometimes.
Well, I think that's what's important about the YouTube, because Claudia don't know so much, but from this morning and the flask itself tells me everything.
Yeah.
Is that you guys are the crack. Like, you're fun. You're very, to me, unlikely opera singers, because the cliche, if you want to call it that, is that you are aloof. You're sitting in an ivory tower.
Full of your
down.
Own notions.
Yes. Yeah. But we're not allowed to have notions in Ireland, as you well know. So I would imagine...
That's because we're Irish. That's why we are the way we are.
That's what I'm wondering. So I would imagine that the Irish opera singer, male or female, but particularly female, if you're talking about a diva, as the word is used, is probably a very different class of person compared to your colleagues around the world.
100%. It's a culture thing.
Yeah, so they would go walk into a room and go, I'm here and you will serve me, you know, foie gras on a cracker. You walk in going, have you any Ritz?
I personally see that less and less, you know, and it's my personal experience that when you're in a cast with good people who are, you know, confident in themselves, you don't really get that kind of thing. I mean, I think that kind of behaviour does come from perhaps an insecurity, you know.
But I've seen a few divas.
I haven't at a certain level, I haven't.
Yes.
You know, so it's funny, like if I'm in a really good cast, I tend to see less of that, you know, than if when people are really comfortable in themselves, I just don't tend to see that as much.
You can't get away with it now anyway.
You can't.
Can't be getting away with
Me
that
too changed a lot of things as well.
Did
you know what I mean? Yeah. There's no time for that diva behaviour or anything. People are there. You just go in and you just do your work and you get on with your work. There's no time for that.
There's kind of a post-pandemic realignment of expectations and things. And I think that's why your opera, as it's happening in Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, will be something people should consider if they haven't ever done it before, with a view to saying, well, I've never done that. But I think this should be a year of trying new things and
definitely an experience.
Yeah.
Like to be in a theatre like the Bord Gáis, and we're very blessed to have it, with a full orchestra, live orchestra. You know, like so many
beautiful
shows you go to and it's pre-recorded with, you know, with some live instruments. You've got a full orchestra there.
And it's a big orchestra because it's a big orchestration. You know, it's huge.
It's
not
sound.
Like, you know, Mozart or, you know, Bach or something like that. It's a really lush, big, full orchestra. It's symphonic almost.
Tell me about family-wise. You mentioned your husband and you've got kids, haven't
you? Yes, I am what you call in the thick of it at the moment,
Ryan. What does that mean?
Because that means I have two children. One is 3 and a half now. Now, and the Blossom, and my son George is 16 months. Okay. So it's busy.
Well, can
it's
I
busy
just
and it's great.
Compliment you on the name Blossom. I think it's a very sweet name.
Oh, thank
There's
you.
There's a singer called Blossom Deary who comes up on my
really?
Spotify sometimes.
Oh,
kind
nice.
Of a blues singer, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Anyway, so that's quite sweet. And you're in the thick of it, meaning that you're
Well, just it's busy. You know, it's,
well, like, we're
you
both
have a baby
mommies,
and
when
a toddler.
She says she's in the thick of it, she really means the thick of it. Like this morning we were taking pictures outside your studio to say that we're here to tune in and I couldn't take a picture because it was all blurry and I was like, what's wrong with your camera? And it was like picking porridge off the back
of
the
there's porridge on my phone.
Jam on the camera.
It was so funny. My husband, he's an accountant, but he was in a kind of important meeting the other day and he said to me, he took out his phone in the meeting and there was porridge all over it, so he put it back in his pocket. I just love that.
That makes him human. That's for sure.
Just brilliant.
I'm at your end as well. So yours are what age now?
Well, my son is actually, shout out to my son, it's his birthday tomorrow. I'm going home like this evening to host his party with all his friends come into the house.
What age is he?
He's going to be 17 tomorrow.
Oh, well, that's a big
that's
age.
That's the baby.
And the others?
And then I've got my daughter, who's the middle child, and then the older child.
Okay,
You know, we're not going to do the maths here now. People be adding up how old is the eldest child. And my eldest is 26 and my daughter's 21.
Did your eldest get up on stage with you?
No, that was the youngest.
Your youngest, the 16-year-old.
I know, he's so tall.
What did he sing with you?
At Christmas, we were in the Bord Gáis doing my Christmas gala I do every year.
Yeah.
And he sang Winter's Tale, David Essex, Winter's Tale.
That's amazing.
And
he came on stage with you.
That takes some guts to do that for him.
I was so proud, like I was crying. And you know
amazing.
Doing the mommy and get totes the mosh.
But you know, funny, I talked to a few people who were at your Christmas concert, and apparently it was a very emotional affair on the basis that it was a very emotional Christmas for so many different reasons for lots of people.
Yeah.
But the music that you sing and the fact that, like, even when you had your son up with you, you know, and suddenly a Christmas song can bring you.
Yeah, well,
back
that's
into
what
your pajamas
as I said,
as a kid.
That's what I love about, as I said, about concerts is that you can connect. And I love concerts and I love the chats. So it's not just about me getting up and singing a song and singing at people. I like interacting with people. I like talking and I like communicating. And
would you like a job like mine?
I would.
I think you'd be really good at it.
I would absolutely love it, Ryan.
Would you? No, I'm not joking.
No, I would. Definitely. It's definitely something that I want
really
to do.
You'd be really good at it because you have a natural turn of phrase and a curiosity about people, and I could see you doing a gig like this. I mean,
Jesus, we'll have to have a chat.
You should. And again, the J-bomb.
Yeah.
You dropped another J-bomb.
I know. It's okay, though.
You didn't bless
way.
Yourself this time.
In a good way.
Does one cover them all? There you go. We're back in again.
He's very good to me. God is good.
No, you are. I know we've talked about your faith before. It's really important to you.
It is.
And you had a very tough COVID, didn't you, in terms of family? And I'm sorry to condolences to you.
Yeah, I had bereavements and it wasn't easy, but...
Can I ask you who passed away or
my father passed away in May, 3 days after my birthday. I think, do you know what? I think he held out until after my birthday. And so that was sad. But it was also a beautiful experience. Obviously, I wasn't delighted that he was passing away, but it was a lovely experience in that it was just nice to be there and to be present and to have family around, and I was prepared, you know.
Was that May just gone by? Or
May 2020, and then my mother-in-law, who lived with us for 8 years, she passed away as well 1 week before that.
Oh, that's very tough.
Oh, that is tough.
It was, and there was different experiences as well. We should always take into factor different experience that people were feeling during the pandemic. Of course, I had bereavements, but like I also kind of couldn't focus on that because I had to focus on my children, because my daughter was going through a leave insert, you know, where she didn't get to say goodbye to her friends, where she was going into college,
just so weird.
She was upset and she had her own anxieties and things like that. So everybody feels things in a different way because everybody experiences things in a different way because we're all individuals and we all deal with things differently.
What did your dad bring to your world when he was here?
Oh, he was great.
Was he?
Yeah, he was lovely. Like, to be honest, like my mom and my sister are very close. So I could say I never really, even though I had a mom, she was closer to my sister, and because of their closeness, I could never have a sister relationship or a mother relationship. But I had a good relationship with my dad. Yeah, he was. Yeah, we like that's the thing. Like, anytime now I get upset or something, like I miss him because he'd be the one that I talk to.
Was he music?
No, do you know what? He loved music, but he was very proud. But his most proudest moment was when I was singing in Croke Park at the semi-finals. Like, that's my widdy up there now singing the national anthem. And I said, but I'm going to Covent Garden. But you're in Croke Park. That's even better.
What is your favourite, Claudia, of all the venues you've played? What one do you keep closer to your heart? I mean, you've played so many. Is it a home gig? Is it an away gig?
Do we go to New York or Rome? Actually, it was baptism by fire because that was one of my first jobs. Actually, it was my first job, professional job internationally was Rome. So that's, and then I went back there a lot actually.
So you have a sentimental association with it.
Also, Italians just have a kind of a passion of fire about them, and certainly as an audience, you feel that actually. It's really weird. You kind of feel that off them, and they know their opera. They love their opera.
But do you know, I mean, look, the only thing we have in common here is that we perform in front of audiences occasionally. And yeah. What I would say that we can share in the commonality is a bad audience and a good audience. It is extraordinary.
Oh, it's amazing.
Can't you tell?
But when you walk in, you go,
you walk in sometimes, it very rarely happens, but you can walk in and go, and just before the show starts, you can turn to somebody, producer or somebody, and say,
you feel it.
It's Friday night at the morgue. Yeah. But
you can turn it.
But then it's kind of funny as well.
It's
funny then you can get a really quiet audience and they can be quiet for the whole performance, but then they can just absolutely burst into
the right
applause because you've gotten them and they've been listening intently and you think, oh, maybe they're not, you know, as warm as, but then they are so appreciative.
Well, the flip side of it is
you never know.
When you get the humdinger audience and they're buzzing from the moment you show your face and you're just going, okay, you're getting there, you know, you get this. Okay, text her on our audience at home. Could you please ask, I don't want you to read that
go
out.
On.
Could
go
you please
on.
Ask the girls?
The girls,
you're one.
Ask the girls if you can be taught to sing opera, or is it luck to have an amazing voice like that?
Oh, no, of course, it's a train.
Well, I think anybody can sing. That's my philosophy. Now, it depends on how that singing is and what is it. But anybody can sing. If you can speak, you can sing.
Okay.
Yes,
no,
absolutely.
It's a train. You train to sing opera. Yeah. It's a training, yes.
Was your Christmas gig at the Borgash or the NCH? I can't remember.
Borgash,
yeah. Because somebody says, tell...
Sold-out gig.
Sold-out gig. Critical. please tell Claudia she was fab at the NCH.
Christmas show.
She was amazing.
We had the pleasure of hearing Celine in Sea Church here in Ballycotton during COVID. And it was so wonderful and really moving. Come back soon, Celine, says Hazel.
I'll be there.
Pat says Celine should record a Christmas CD. It's January and hearing her, I'm already looking forward to Christmas.
Woohoo! Go on, you good thing.
Just bought 4 tickets to see my daughter Aoife act in Innocence, a new Finnish opera in the Royal Opera London in April. Can't
Congratulations.
Wait.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
She started in the Fermoy Choral Pantomime and she followed her dreams. Isn't that good? That's the next generation.
That's amazing.
Ireland should be proud, says David in Clontarf. We have produced so many world-class singers since John McCormack started it all off at the dawn of the recording era. Caruso said that humming should sound like a cello. Celine and Claudia are amazing.
Thanks
there
very
you go
much.
Now, big heads as well. Although she
has got her bling bling cup here, she's still in her pajamas. Like,
blinged out.
At least I got dressed.
Great women. Great, it sounds like from Donald. Great women, great singers. Can't wait to hear Claudia in St. Baron's Church in Castle Townsend on April 13th. All the best. In case you didn't know, you are the union, you know now, Jacqueline and Eddie.
Oh, yes,
Eddie
no,
she spoke
in Union Hall.
She
looked in her mental
diary.
I had
to think about that for a second, but no, it's all good.
Celine and Claudia have opened up opera and classical music to a whole new demographic. They are extraordinary. I was at the Borgash Christmas concert, says Elizabeth, a few years back when Celine very kindly and sweetly told off a late arriver who made her way all the way to her seat in the middle of Celine's first song.
And then
song.
I said I'd make her a cup of tea. Did she want a cup of tea?
Oh, that's brilliant. In the middle of the song, she's making her way.
She came in late and I said, oh, sure, look, did you think it was a 8:30 start? Will I make you a cup of tea, love?
Is there a tune they could give us a chance of a few bars from Der Rosenkavalier? I mean, this is the opera you're in. I'm putting on the spot a little early, 30 second little, because I know you need to warm up, but even just while we're here, I mean,
it's grand. If you can sing, you can sing.
Fair play. Okay.
Do you want to do something there, Claudia?
There you go,
Celine.
Da geht er hin, der aufgeblasene, schlechte
I'm the more mellow one.
Okay, my turn. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We're just out of time. What a shame. Thank you both very much.
I really enjoyed the chat with
you. It was lovely.
I think you're amazing. You're an amazing interviewer. I loved being on the show. Thank you so much because I know opera's not kind of like a everyday kind of thing to talk about. So thank you so much, Ryan, for having us on this morning. I really appreciate
it. Celine Byrne, Claudia Boyle, what a delight. And let's do some. We should get you on the TV to sing for us sometime as well because we've got to spread the good word.
And we'd love to just recap March 5th
That's his job.
I'm going to line up a presenting job myself.
You're up next. There aren't enough studios here.
Go ahead there,
this March, Bord Gáis Energy Theatre will welcome one of the most iconic operas of all time, Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, and it will be starring, you mentioned Paula Murray, but also our guest this morning, Celine Byrne and Claudia Boyle. I can tell you there's so much appreciation for you on text this morning. What a pleasure to you and your families.
Thank you.
Every happiness.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right.